I love doing that. And for me as a pastor, when I've got a list on my phone, it's a phone list. And it's a list on my phone, but a phone list. And on that list, we have somewhere right at 115 actual partners of our church. And y'all want to tell you something that's awesome, we can clap for that. Praise God for that. Here's what's cool about that is we have on average like more than that coming to worship. That is unheard of in churches. I will tell you that churches will have about 400 on the roll and 200 show up for worship. And listen, that has nothing to do with anything except that you people and the people in our community are seeing God move in this place. It's not about what I do, what anybody else does. I'm honored. It blows me away every day, and I can't talk about it much. I start breaking. I'm going to break. And it blows me away that I get to do this. It is an absolute honor to serve this church and serve this community, and I love it. I love every minute of it. Well, not every minute of it, but I love most of it. There's some times, and the devil has really attacked us lately. He really has. We have people that are not sitting. See the empty seats, by the way? Y'all look around you. See all the empty seats around you? See those? That's why we exist. And the reason I say that is there people who are not here. Some can't be, but some should be. Some haven't. It's not about our church building. It's not about even our church. We get to serve as a part of the Big C Church in this whole community. And so this week we were supposed to start a series on family. I'm going to start that next week, Lord willing, unless God change it again. Here's the thing. I'm very careful about saying God said or God did something because I don't want to blame God for something I wanted to do and just, you know, throw it in there and did it. But I honestly feel like he wanted me to say some of these words that I'm going to say today. Because I don't know how many of you guys know about it, but Church of the Highlands announced this morning that Pastor Chris is stepping down. Now, that means, yeah, everybody goes, whoa, you know that's because he's been doing it for 24 years. Brandon was like, come on, man, go one more year. You can get the 25 in, you know. But and I say that because of the respect and honor I have for him and that church and what they've done to help us. And you could go, all of you could point to people that's helped you through the years and through the times in your life. And so that's a big change for that church. Y'all be praying for Church of the Highlands because they do a lot of good, a lot of good in the world. A lot of souls come to Jesus through them. Now, that being said, here we are. And you say, we're just this little church over in the corner. No, we're not. The church is universal, man. It's everywhere. God created the church as his plan A. And it doesn't matter whether small church, big church, or whatever. We all are, like, comfortable in different ones. But that really doesn't matter, really, honestly, at the end of the day. Because I just want to see more and more people come to Jesus. I want to see that happen. And that's what we want to do. Well, I'm 61. I'm almost 61 years old, almost, in August. I mean, it's not right here. But I'm in my 60th year. I'm living my 60th year. And I know, I don't look it. It's okay. I saw John Stamos on TV yesterday, and I thought, the dude's still a teenager. What's up with that? So I thought, I wonder how old John Stamos is. I looked it up. He's 61. He looks 31. Anyway, that's what money will do for you. Anyway, all right, so, and this is what pastoring will do to you. and so the older I get, the less I like change. Now, I have certain things like if I'm going to brush my teeth, I want the soap standing up on the stand, I want it on the right side because when I rinse my mouth, I lean this way. And I don't want that soap in my hair. Now, that's dumb. No, it's not. It is just what I do. It's what I do. Liz folds the towels wrong every time. Every time. Vicky, you and Rick had this conversation. I remember it was a great conversation. One of you likes bifold. You know, you fold it, and it's nice and flat, fits in the closet. And then that trifold thing, they stack up and fall over everywhere. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And so, but it's because that's the way I've always done it. And change is hard to come by. And I just want you to see this today. There's some limitations that I have now, but inside of me, I don't feel any different than when I was 21 years old. I don't. I still have some of the same crazy stuff. I got more wisdom, praise God, but I do feel the same on the inside. When I play those drums up here, it's a different purpose now, but I've been doing that for a long, long, long time, and I love it. I enjoy doing that. And it's just, if you change those drums the way they're set, I'm going to come up and say, who changed my drums? Because I'm setting my ways in that. So change is difficult. This guy said, the only constant in life is change. He's a Greek philosopher. Very little of what he wrote, by the way, is still preserved. Just fragments of things that he wrote. But it seemed like he wrote a lot of really cool stuff if you look at his quotes. He said, he backed it up with this. He said, no man ever steps in the same river twice, for it's not the same river and he is not the same man. Love that, man. That is so powerful. So powerful. John F. Kennedy said this about change. He said, change is a law of life, though, and those who only look to the past or present are certain to miss the future. Because you know change is coming. And I love Winston Churchill quotes, and here's one from him. To improve is to change. To be perfect is to change often. And for those of you who are new today, our church is experiencing changes. We're growing. And we've had a kind of a small mindset, and we're really trying to change that into growing to the next level. Why? So we can have a big church and say, look at Discovery Church and check it out over there. No, not at all. It's because those empty seats need to be filled with people who don't know who Jesus is. That's the purpose. That's the bottom line purpose for it all. Change is uncomfortable, but change brings tension. I got this illustration in my head. This is just a little rubber band. This rubber band is useless unless they're tension brought in it. Like if I hold it like this, John's pretty cool right where he is. But if I hold it like this, John is still not moving. He's got the nerves of steel. Because in order to launch the rubber band, there has to be tension to make it purposeful, useful. I got a stack of prayer cards up here, and this is really bad on my illustration, but it's going to work. If I put that around those cards, it holds those cards together. I mean, I can move them around. I have no worry about them falling apart. I couldn't flip there with that rubber band. I have another. I don't have no idea where that thing went. I hope somebody's okay down here. Oh, Kim, what's in your eye? You okay? I'm just kidding. She's wearing glasses. She's good. But for real, without... Thank you, dear. Appreciate that. All right, so... You're so sweet. I had another one. I was just messing with you. But for real, the tension of the rubber band makes it useful. And we don't like tension. I don't like it. You don't like it. Most of the time we call it conflict. None of us like conflict at all. We don't enjoy it at all. But without tension... There's not much change. And with too much tension, that rubber band will snap. You've had that happen to you before as well, right? With too much tension, it snaps. Not enough, it's useless. If that rubber band sits around those cards for a long time, and they'll sit for years like that, and you'll find them later on. It's packed in a box somewhere, something that was rubber banded, and you pull it out, the rubber band's dry rotted, and it's useless. So my point with that whole thing is that change over time, change is going to cause some tension, but the tension is normal, and we need to understand that in order for that rubber band to be active and useful, it has to be tensioned and retensioned and retensioned over and over and over again to make it purposeful. You can even double them up and make them. Whatever has to happen, it has to keep its purpose, and that's going to happen. So the question is, how do we manage the tension? And you in your life right now are dealing probably with some area of your life where there is tension. And how we deal with that is going to greatly determine how strong we are as believers. It's going to greatly determine everything about our lives. It's going to determine how good a husband or wife you are, a child or parent you are, how you manage that. Can I just be honest with you? I haven't always managed that very well. My younger days, I would resort to anger very quickly. And I'm learning and growing in that. In some ways, you're going to change over time that are going to be very, very good. How do we navigate it? How do we navigate it? As a church, the one thing I want you to understand something, okay? Y'all see all the new pretty stuff out front? Isn't that nice? Yeah. Yeah. Chelsea spearheaded that and got all it together. And there's lots of people. I can't name everybody. So many people helped. But I want you to understand that. And I told her this, we were standing looking at it, and I said, you know, one day, this is all not going to be like this, because it's going to change. And thank God for that. I was talking to Pete this morning, who brought his grandson Zach with him today, and he was talking about how we used to have a building big enough or small enough that it all fit in that front foyer out there. had 54 chairs in there. Before COVID, we had 88 in there one time. It was like, praise the Lord. We couldn't move. I mean, it was tight. Two services and all of those things. Thank God for change. The tension of it is, oh, no, what are we going to do over there? How's it going to be different? Well, this place is temporary as well. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let's go through the notes. If you got to worship God this morning, you should have some notes inside. If you want to follow along, fill in some blanks, we'd love for you to do that. If you'd rather do that electronically or you didn't get a book as you come in, just go to our website, discoveryal.church, and you can do your notes online, have them emailed to yourself. Point number one today is this. If we're going to manage tension well, we have to commit, have a commitment to unity. Now, last year, our word was unify for the year. And I'm going to tell y'all something. You create a word. This year, it's light, and they're very similar in the fact that the enemy doesn't want us to unify, and he certainly doesn't want us to be the light. And so he's going to attack in those areas, okay? And so that part of it's coming, but he is nothing, man. He's a devil. He's already lost. He's going to hell just like he knows it. And all he's trying to do is take you and your friends with him. And so Scripture says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, me, live at peace with everyone. I can't force peace. I've tried it. Doesn't work. In fact, Jesus talks about the peacemakers. You try being a peacemaker. It could be a jawbreaker. It could literally be a very difficult thing to try to bring peace into the lives of other people. And especially if you're part of the problem. Because we want to see what they're doing, but we don't want to see what we're doing. He says here, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. And I can't control you, but I can control me. And I can control my emotions, and I can control my actions, and I can control what I do in order for me to be as good as I can at making peace as best I can. Y'all get that, right? So we have to commit to unity. And what that means is, it's like in marriage. Liz and I are till death do you part, period. There are no options. There are no other options. In church, I'll just be honest with you, man. Over the last several months, I've noticed that for some people, church is an option. Where you worship is an option. And it is. We have lots. It's a smorgasbord of this area. You can just go where you'd like and just pick what you'd like to be a part of. And here's what happens. Well, I love it when people come be a part of us, and like 6 months in, they find out, oh, no, these people are human too. What happened? It felt so good that first Sunday, and everybody was like, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? And then months in, you guys who have been here from the beginning, God bless you for sticking with that. That's not easy. It's not easy. But it's because they want it. They want to work toward that, and we have to commit to that. Number two, we have to commit to fighting offense. I didn't say fight offensively. I didn't talk about offense and defense. I'm talking about fight. In the Freedom book, you guys, how many of y'all started Freedom, right? Y'all started Freedom? Anybody started Freedom? Oh, all right. I know a bunch of them have, but anyway, you're not here. Apparently, anybody I'm going to call out today is not in church. Okay, maybe that's it. I don't know. I looked up the word offense, just Googled it, and first thing that came up, I didn't put it on the screen, but here's what it said. It's resentful or annoyed, typically as a result of a perceived insult. You offended me. Well, what I did is you just got mad because I didn't do what you wanted to do. I thought I was going to do, okay? It's like expecting one thing and getting something else. That's the definition of anger. And so this idea of I need to change it. I sound like a bad phone call. I'm going to get this handheld back here, brother, okay? And hey, give it up for our sound guys, man. I love those guys back there. That's not easy, because when something like that starts happening, Nemo's like, man, I don't know, what's he going to do? Must be the battery. But anyway, this idea of having these feelings is typically as a result of a perceived in. The thing is, most of the things that you're upset about probably are not even real, or they're not real to the level that you think they're real. It's a perceived thing. It's a perception, and the devil loves to mess with our perceptions. And then in Freedom, the reason I mentioned Freedom is there's a whole chapter on the end of a chapter called Living the Unoffended Life. What a gift it would be to have the gift to be able to say anything I wanted to you and you never be offended, and you could say anything to me that you wanted to and I never be offended. That's a crux of a beautiful relationship, man. And when that's not there, resentment can come in. Scripture says, be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now, that little T-O-O at the end is an also. It means you should take interest in yourself. It's not a bad thing to say, I'm going to take interest in things that I would like to do. But first, I'm going to think about what you need in this relationship, what I need to do to bless you in this relationship, what I need to do to reach out to you in this relationship. In church, it works like this. Oh, no, man, that dude just walked by me and didn't say a word. I'm all tore up about it. I'm offended. You probably get mad when nobody likes your Facebook post, too. Don't you do? They didn't like my post. So, man, I don't want to stand next to Paul one day. My biggest problem would be that nobody liked my Facebook post. But it does hurt when you expect somebody to speak to you and then they don't. But you don't really know why they didn't. Really? They got a bad pizza the night before. They could have woke up in a really weird mood. They could be sick and you not even know it, or they not even know it. They could just be being rude, but that verse doesn't dismiss you and say, well, I'll just be rude back as much as is in you. And just take an interest in what other people want. It's the golden rule. Whatever you would that men do unto you, do you also unto them. That's the golden rule. It's looking out. It's the verb of the Bible. Well, verb of the Bible is give, but it's love. It's loving one another. Number three, if you want to manage the tension of anything that's new around you, which is, I think, kind of what I'm smacking at here and trying to get us to understand, and that is commit to mutual understanding. Now, some of you guys heard me say this in a meeting, and I've talked to several of you about it, and I had used the word reciprocal understanding. But reciprocal is just one of them words. Like, what did he just say? What is that? I don't know what that means. Reciprocal is, you know, kind of a back and forth thing, but mutual, that means together we're working on understanding each other. And I don't always understand y'all, man. I don't. And I used to think when you got to be a preacher, everybody's supposed to understand you, because all you're going to do is stand up and say what God says, and they should understand it. But it takes work to do that. It takes two things. One, it takes this is not in your notes. I should have put this word in there, right in there, underneath that mutual understanding. First, it takes communication. We got to talk to each other. We got to make sure. Scripture says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must always be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Y'all have heard the saying, you got two ears and one mouth. You should listen twice as much as you talk. And for people like me, that's a problem. And I'm not being funny when I say that. I do enjoy talking. I get a good amen from some of you, I know. But it's kind of what I do. And so it takes work for me to stop and listen, but I have to do that. Non-distracted. Ask questions. Understand. That means to stand under something. That means to support it. Did y'all notice how I revealed who's in our church? And it wasn't a top-down, here are the shepherds, and then we got this and this and this. And I appreciate Nemo for doing the org chart and all. And some of you will see it on the wall in the resource room. But when you see that, I want you to visualize it as an upside-down org chart. Then on the very bottom somewhere is this little stick figure of me. I'm not on top of this thing trying to lord it over people. That's not the way church works. It is a support system where we love each other across the board. Across the board. I can't tell you how many times I would look at something that somebody did in our church and I go, I wouldn't have done it like that. But it winds up being a blessing to everybody else. It's being able to give up understanding to say, I didn't see it that way, but they saw it that way, and everybody seems to enjoy that. So, hey, must be a good thing. And that's the kind of reciprocal understanding we have to have for one another, this mutual love for each other. And the next word is communicate. The next word is perspective. Perspective. Remember I talked earlier about perceiving things? It's seeing the perspective of another person first. Scripture says it this way, Romans 12 and verse 10. It says, be devoted to one another in love, honoring one another above yourselves. And I love, when I look this up, I don't know, most of you are like, if you're my age or older, you grew up on the King James Version Bible. And we memorized our scriptures that way and all that. So when I first When I first thought of this verse, it came out like this. It'll be on your screen, not in your notes. I did this later. It came out like this. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, I love this, preferring one another. It's a preference. It's a preference that's based out of relationship. And the cool thing about it, when you come into this place, and I've never met you before, can I use you for an illustration, Zach? Is that okay, brother? All right, so Zach's from Colorado. He just moved to the community, and I just met him out here just a few minutes ago. He's my brother. You say, I don't even know the man. He's my brother? Absolutely, he's my brother. Not only that, he's my blood brother through the blood of Christ. And I know we say that a lot. We maybe even think about it a lot. But isn't it cool to meet somebody from another part of the world? I mean, Gary and Charisse came here from California by way of Pennsylvania and through Tennessee. How does that happen? I don't know, but I'm glad it did. My brother and sister. Immediately. Immediate kinship. And it wouldn't matter if you were in China or Bangladesh or Africa. It wouldn't matter where you are. Those people who are in Christ Jesus are your family. And it's we prefer one another. It's being honest about yourself and others. Too often we want to shroud the truth because I'm afraid to hurt your feelings. When we do that, we're lying. And we need to find a good way to say it. Some of you are better at that than others. Yeah. Some of y'all just say it right out, don't you? I don't like that shirt. Looks stupid. Some of you just come up and say, man, a new shirt? Yeah, it's a new shirt. Oh, interesting. They didn't like it either, but they loved me first, right? So much of what we do in relationships and how we perceive and see things, and as we move forward with a new shepherd and family and move forward with divisional leaders, and we move forward with all these things that you see. If you're new with us today, understand that what we see in here today is going to change. It is just, it's a moving thing. That's why number four, we have to do this. This is the final point today. We have to commit to eternal thinking. Because if you think temporally, however you want to say that, if you think that what's in front of you right now is what it is, it's the thing. It's like falling in love. Oh, I found everything I ever wanted. Oh, I'm just, and you're just in love. And you just, ah. Oh. And you find out what you see is temporary. And that's okay. In fact, it's good. It's good. Thinking eternally means that if you've noticed it, I don't know if you've noticed this around you or not, but everything you have or own or look at will go away. It will. It will. No matter what you and I offer into this organization as a church, and we honor the word and we lead with integrity and we try to do all those things, but as long as people are involved in it, it's going to change. Things are going to change. And as that changes, understand, if you understand it up front and you expect it. I'm reading a book right now called Necessary Endings. And one of the things it says that you need to incorporate in your life, especially in business, is if you want to incorporate something into your life, understand that that thing has a season and it is an ending thing. Emily's group is called Through the Seasons. Seasons ebb and flow. Can't wait till this season of cold is gone. Amen. Maybe forever. I don't know. I'm looking forward to my 90 in the shade. Not really, but I want it to be warm. I'm glad seasons change because that shows the beauty of God, the creation of God. And we get to see it over and over and over again. We see the fall leaves, and we see the ugly snow, and we see the beautiful, beautiful sunshine, and we see the rainbow, which still, by the way, God made. We need to take the rainbow back from the devil and give it back to God, who created it. It was a reminder to himself that he would never destroy us by water again. Next time it'll be fire. Here's the thing. We don't unify in our church based on org charts and programs and ministries. We don't organize our church and create monuments. I've resisted from day one trying to get people to say, I want to buy a set of chairs and put my family name on there. I don't want to do that. It's not about your family name. If you want to buy some chairs, buy some chairs and sit in them. Most of you find one you like and you sit in it every Sunday. I don't even understand how all that works, but that's what we try to do. But what happens is when we give or what we donate, we want it to become a monument to us, and that's not what we're looking for. And we don't say it that way, but bless our hearts, we just think, man, that was whatever. Belonged to somebody special, it was yours. Have family heirlooms. Most of my heirlooms are in the attic or given away to my kids. It's because it's stuff. Can I tell you what the most important thing is? The most important thing is that you settle. Come on, listen to me. That you settle your relationship with Jesus Christ, first and foremost. That if you do not have a relationship with Christ, if you're online and you're listening, you don't have a relationship with Christ, that's your step. Well, you need to start right there with believing in Him, trusting in Him, completely receiving Him, being baptized into Him, Galatians 3. All these different phrases and things that Scripture says just ebb and flow, where we flow to Jesus. Get that settled first. You know what the next most important thing is? It's not anything you own. It's people. When I say anything you own, some of your parents are going, well, I still own mine. They're still at the house. But you know what I'm talking about. Hey, by the way, they're going away too one day. Praise Jesus. Don't get all enamored with this guy. He'll go away too one day. So will you. But what I want you to do is I want you to say, hey, I'm going to pour life into this guy so that one day I'll see him again. Because the people in your life are the most important. That's the most important commodity you have. Why? Because it's the only thing you'll take to the next life. It's the only one. So that's why it's important. It's the only one. So the Scripture says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Fill in the blank with your trouble. Whatever it is. And take that trouble, submit it to Jesus. If you have a relationship with Him, you can do that. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. We don't look at those. Rather, we fix. It's a Southern word. We fixing to do something. We fix our gaze. It means we focus our sights on the things that cannot be seen. That sounds like an oxymoron. I'm looking at stuff I can't see. Unbelievers think we're crazy. We see it by faith. We trust it by faith. Fix our gaze on the things. For the things that we can see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last. How long? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Unify. Please stop being offended at everything. That's going to help your unity. Fall into understanding other people. God help us to do that. And to think toward the eternal. Come on, you guys stand with me for a minute. Prayer team, you can take your places if you will. We spend some time at the end of our service in prayer and worship. Most churches do this. We kind of do it a little differently than I've ever done it before. We have people standing all around the room. They're our prayer team. They want to pray with you. They want to lift you up in prayer. If today's your first day to ever say to someone, I believe in Christ, it's a great way to go do that. Go do that with them. But what I want you to do for just one moment, I want you to stop focusing on, this is the opposite of what any preacher will ever tell you probably, but stop focusing on everything outside of you. Stop focusing on the person you know that's not part of Jesus. Stop focusing on the people that aren't. Focus on yourself. And I want you to think with an eternal mind. What I see inside of me, the things that I connect eternally with God, some of them that I see I don't like. And maybe you see the same thing in you. In fact, it may help you to close your eyes so you can see. And those things that you feel something about in your life. Maybe it's guilt, or maybe it's even the shame or all those things. God wants to take those things away. And he wants to do that with the two words that was given to me when I thought of this message is this, is grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. I need lots of it. God gives it unconditionally. You say, but what about this thing I did? Or what about what I said last week? Or how I treated my family or whatever? You fill in the blank with whatever it is that you see inside of yourself. And God says, I want to come in and completely wipe that clean. And it's simply a leaning into faith in him to receive that. Do you know why grace and mercy is so important to you? It's because God gives you so much of it that you have to overflow with it. When you don't overflow with it, you're out of relationship with God. When you don't overflow with grace, when you're judgmental and angry and frustrated all the time, you're shoving down the thing that God's given you in unconditional measures. You cannot have him not love you. You can't. He just does. So receive his grace and mercy today. And as we sing and we worship, let the words flow into your heart and your mind, but let it flow out in ways. Don't miss an opportunity to pray with somebody today. Maybe there's something in your life you need to pray about that's going to happen this week. Whatever, just please step out right now. Go to a prayer warrior. They're in the back too. Some in the back, I think. And so please step out there and pray as we worship.
show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Oh, holy. Oh, you are holy. Oh, open our eyes, come open our eyes to see. Oh, all that you are, all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you'll do, God. Oh, we look to you, and we'll build on you. Oh, I will build my life upon your love. It is
that is a proclamation. I will build my life on you, Lord. Because he's worthy to do that. He's worthy to do that. Would you just praise him for a moment? Just give a praise. Father, we love you. We build our life on you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We give it to you, Lord. You are to be praised. Your name is to be glorified in all the earth, Lord. Thank you for being our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in the time of need. Thank you for walking every step of the way with us, Lord. And even sometimes when we feel like that you're not there, God, we know you are. And we see you and we believe by faith that you are in our life. And it's just, Caleb just prayed over me. This, we proclaim that favor over us, Lord. You've given us promises. You said, and we're just trusting on what you've said and you've given. And we trust you in it. And let everybody right there say a good amen in Jesus' name. Come on, y'all. Come on, man. Yeah. It's been so good to be with you guys. Yeah, come on. Woo! If you're going to praise, do it right. Come on now. Yeah, that's awesome. What a great day to be together. I want to remind all of you who are partners with us, don't forget to give today. And that's how we keep going. It financially helps us, so we really appreciate that. And that's for partners, not our guests. But we want you to, if you are a guest, please fill out a connection card in front of you. I meant to mention that earlier, and I had rubber bands on my mind. But anyway, forgot to tell you that. But I appreciate if you would do that. If you're online, please go to our website, discoveryal.church, and fill that out there. We'd love to connect with you. We really would. Don't we love our new people, y'all? Come on. Well, we love them. We love you. You guys have a wonderful, awesome rest of your day. Impact step one today. If you've never taken that step, please come and learn about who we are as a church and how God can send you here to help us. 5:00. 5:00.